I was in high school back in 1972 when Title IX was passed. Among other things, that policy required public schools to provide girls and boys with equitable sports opportunities. Now, it happened that the girls' sports teams at Old Barron High School were better than the boys' teams, and the girls' volleyball, basketball, and track teams were champions, so they got some attention. Well, fast forward to today, and opportunities abound for the female athlete, even in traditionally male-dominated sports like hockey and wrestling. But what is the role of female sports teams to the athletes, to their schools, and to their communities? We explore girls and women's sports in Western Wisconsin today on the West Side. Good morning. I'm Dean Kallenbach. We're joined today by Tanya Englund, the head coach of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire women's basketball team for the past 20 years. Her 344 wins places her first all-time among Blue Gold's women's coaches and fourth all-time in the Wisconsin Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. Tanya Englund, good to have you with us today.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
And Anna Graskamp is one of her players. She's a senior forward on the Blue Gold women's basketball team, which concluded a 16-9 season and a 10-4 conference record Saturday night and opens the WIAC tournament tomorrow night at home against UW-Stevens Point. Anna Graskamp, good to have you with us.
Good morning.
Speaking of pointers, we also have as a guest this hour Jessica Rotier, who serves as an assistant coach while also competing with the UW-Stevens Point wrestling team. By the way, she's qualified for the Olympic trials coming up this spring. Jessica Rotier, good to have you along.
Good morning.
Later in the program, we'll be joined by Liz Bohl, who is the girls' volleyball coach at Bloomer High School. She also serves on the Coaches Advisory Committee of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. As always, we'd like to hear from you about our topic today on the West Side. Are you a woman who competed in team sports as a high schooler or a collegian? And what did that experience have to do with your life today? Is the expansion of women into traditionally male sports breaking a glass ceiling? Or is it going too far? Let us know your mind at 800-228-5615. A couple things before we get into our conversation. I want to take a half minute to remind you that it's our member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour we have only a few seconds to ask you for your support of the station you love. You count on WPR to make a difference in your day, to inform and entertain you. Now support the radio you rely on and make your difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. Also, before we get into our topic for today, a bit of breaking news. Rich Kramer has been reporting for the last 10 days or so about complaints against the vice chancellor at UW-Eau Claire, Albert Cologne. He was the vice chancellor for enrollment management. This morning, university faculty, staff, and student leaders were informed just about a half an hour ago that Vice Chancellor Cologne is stepping down as vice chancellor for enrollment management. Chancellor James Schmidt said in his memo that he communicated to him that he no longer believes that he is able to effectively serve UW-Eau Claire in a senior leadership role. Chancellor Schmidt says the change is effective immediately, that Vice Chancellor Colomb's last day in the office was last week Friday, and his resignation will be effective in September. He won't be working on campus any longer or supervising employees, but he will be reassigned duties related to his enrollment management expertise during that time. The current investigation of Vice Chancellor Cologne is ongoing, according to Chancellor Schmidt, and he says he remains committed to a timely completion of that. And an excerpt from the statement by Cologne, he says, "I have informed Chancellor Jim Schmidt that I am stepping down from my position as Vice Chancellor for Enrollment Management. I told Chancellor Schmidt it has become increasingly apparent to me that regardless of the outcome of the current investigation of allegations made against me, I am no longer able to effectively serve UW-Eau Claire in a senior leadership role. It is my belief that is in the best interest of the university." Rich Kramer is following the story. You can listen later in the day as WPR brings you a more extensive report and more details about the resignation of Vice Chancellor Albert Cologne from UW-Eau Claire. Now back to our conversation for today about women's sports and girls' sports. And in the introduction to the show, I talked about how Title IX started when I was in high school in the early 1970s. Now, Tanya Englund, you were a high schooler in the late 1980s. some 15 years after Title IX. Was your experience as a youth athlete equitable with what you were seeing in boys' sports?
I think, you know, thinking and looking back on everything that I was a part of, I felt that it was equitable in the fact that we had equal opportunities in the 80s. I think that at the time, I look now at someone like Anna and a lot of the girls' basketball players that are coming up, and it is now it is something that girls are passionate about becoming an athlete. At the time when I was growing up, I was the lone girl in my community that was passionate about becoming an athlete. And so while the opportunities were equitable, I think it was difficult to be that one female that was really passionate about wanting to play college basketball.
Yeah, you really had to have passion in order to overcome just the fact that there wasn't that social support.
Exactly. I stood alone. And looking back on it, and I tell my campers this story all the time, it was the boys who were really, really good to me. I played on girls' teams, but I also played on boys' basketball teams. I played pickup and, you know, a lot of different things with the boys. And they didn't look at me as being different. They looked at me as a really good basketball player. Mm-hmm. And I'm really fortunate that I had many equal opportunities while I was growing up. But I was really fortunate to be able to play against the boys and to play against better competition at the time. And that really kind of elevated my game. And so looking back on it, I think I knew that the girls' opportunities were growing. I was a part of those, but I also was playing against boys who were really pushing me to become better. And through my experience, I ended up playing Division I college basketball. I know a lot of that was because I was able to blend both of the experiences.
And you became an All-American basketball player in college. Do you think that those experiences pushed you to that level that you eventually attained?
I think a lot of it had to do with my internal drive to be a female that wanted to do something special. Mm-hmm. I think I was reflecting continually back on all my experiences growing up and knowing that I was a person who could make a difference, and being a part of a national championship team, being an All-American, a lot of that was I want to prove to everyone that this is something that a female can do. And that it can impact a community. I graduated from Hillmary High School, which at the time, just like you said, had great female mm-hmm. sports. They had great male sports as well. And so I was a part of a community where excellence was something that didn't matter if you were a boy or a girl. And it's something that really impacted my life. It took me into education. It took me into coaching. It's why I still coach, because it made such an impact on my life that I want to have those opportunities for the girls that I coach now.
Well, that was actually my next question. Do you think that the hurdles that you overcame and the extra effort you had to make, has that influenced you? Did that influence you to go into coaching, and has that influenced the way you coach?
Absolutely. I run Blue Gold Buddies camps. I run girls basketball camps during the summer, and I tell these stories because I don't want the girls and the women that I'm coaching now to forget. I don't want them to take for granted that you can go to camps and you can have all these different opportunities. I had those opportunities, but like you said, socially it wasn't totally acceptable at the time yet. And I really enjoy seeing a whole bunch of girls come into a gym when we're doing camps, and for them to see all their, you know, friends and things who, it's really cool to play sports. And I kind of missed that. And so that's really why I'm passionate about what I do, because there isn't a day that I don't reflect back on that and think, I knew I wanted to go into coaching. I knew I wanted to go into teaching, because it was such a life changer for me that I want to pass that on to the future generations.
Speaking of future generations, let's talk to Anna Graskamp, who is, as I mentioned, a senior Blue Gold, went to high school at Eau Claire Memorial. Your experience came some 40 years after Title IX went into place. Tanya England says things are better than they were in her school days. Has the policy reached its goal of making activities like sports equitable, do you think?
I was very fortunate growing up in the 2000s that there were many opportunities for me. I could go to play soccer camps. I could go to basketball camps. I actually went to Blue Gold Buddies several times. I went to the Eau Claire Memorial camps. And so those were just options that were so available to me as I was growing up. And like I said, that was very fortunate for me to be able to participate in so many sports and have those opportunities. And I've even seen, as I've grown and to my age now, that the opportunities have even gotten better since I was a kid, too. there's even more camps, even more opportunities. AAU is really developed for basketball, where girls can get more opportunities to play in the off season and all of that.
Do you think you had as many choices as boys do when it came to youth sports?
I definitely think that there were equitable opportunities for both boys and girls. It's just, as Coach was saying, whether those girls took the opportunity to play.
Tani Englund, you've worked with college athletes at UW-Eau Claire for a couple of decades now. Have you seen a change in those 20 years to the preparation of the student athlete as you've been working with them?
I think in my 20 years, what has shifted, Anna alluded to it a little bit, is the AAU that has evolved during the summer. That has really changed the preparation, I believe, of the college athlete that I'm recruiting now. When I started at Eau Claire, there was some AAU, but there wasn't as many different AAU clubs. There wasn't as many AAU tournaments. Now you see,
AAU, by the way, Amateur Athletic Union?
Correct. Yeah. And that would be teams that they play on throughout the summers. And now they travel nationally. They play almost every weekend. And it's interesting in the recruiting process now to visit with the female athletes. They have a very close, tight-knit high school team, but then they also have very, very good AAU friends who that impacts them on where they want to go and who they want to play with. And so that has kind of changed the scene. It's good, I think, in some ways, and in other ways, I think it's a lot. And you look at how many games you play over time, and I think that does impact injuries. I think that does impact the multi-sport athlete, which is something that I grew up believing. And I was a three-sport athlete. I played every sport at Hill-Murray. And I believe that that makes a better athlete. And so while I think it's good, I also think specialization sometimes isn't necessarily the best thing for our athletes.
We're talking about women's and college sports here in Western Wisconsin, particularly in the intercollegiate and interscholastic level. But we'll go beyond there to things like AAU and other opportunities, youth sports. 800-228-5615 is the number for you to call if you'd like to join the show. Let's shift now to an athlete who has had to overcome some obstacles to get her opportunity. Jessica Rotier, you're a wrestler. How'd you come to that sport?
Well, for me, it was kind of an easy decision. I mean, I grew up with an older brother, so it was when I was young and still today, he was the person that I idolized so much that I wanted to be like him. So if he could do it, I could do it, or I should be able to do it. And then just the sheer support from my parents taking most of the challenges that I grew up, you know, like they were always there to defend my right to compete in this male-dominated sport, and they were always there to have my back and not to necessarily promote, like, yep, this is a female, like, I have my daughter taking on all these males, but to promote me as just another athlete, another kid that can compete, another kid that can follow their own dreams, and it kind of just took off from there.
So if you wanted to wrestle at your high school, Pulaski, you had to wrestle on the boys' team. Was that fair?
I mean, I didn't know any different. So to me, it was just the way that I got to continue to pursue my dreams in the sport I loved. I mean, the guys were almost like another family to me. They didn't see me as really a female on the team as much as they saw me as another wrestler, another athlete, which made the world of a difference. Today, still, females in Wisconsin have to wrestle on boys' teams because we're battling the curve to get our own high school sanctioned sport, but the opportunities have grown. So for me, it was a little more, this is the way to get to your dreams. Like, you have to go through these boys to get where you want to be ultimately.
Wrestling, by definition, involves a lot of close contact. Did any of your teammates in practice or any of your opponents ever express any hesitation to wrestle someone of the opposite sex?
I never experienced it personally. The guys that I wrestled through high school, I grew up with. So starting at a young age, like it wasn't a new thing to my team, it wasn't a new thing to the coaches. Like, I was there. I've been through the program. I knew what I was getting into. I knew how the sport worked. So for me personally, no. There has been instances where guys have refused to wrestle girls. But it is what it is, and I think that comes down to a lot of the coaches of those athletes and the parents of those athletes.
Yeah. Jessica Rotier, you ended up getting a scholarship to wrestle at the University of the Cumberlands in Kentucky, which had a women's wrestling team, and you went on to win a national championship there. How did that high school experience influence your college success, do you think?
It gave me the mat time I needed. I mean, it's hard to just pick up a sport and try to be a college athlete going through the process and being able to have to focus on more technique than just bullying people around, because being female, like, I just didn't have the muscle tone and the muscle definition as these grown men. You know, men, boys hit their peak in high school and they grow and become men, but yet once you hit a certain point, like, you just can't keep up on the physical side of things, so forces you to develop better technique and different strategies to win matches, which really translated over to my college career really well. I would say even just wrestling with the guys and developing that physical nature really helped progress the style that I wrestle today.
The NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the Committee on Women's Athletics, recommended last year that women's wrestling be added to the Emerging Sports for Women program. Do you have any updates on that process? Is that something you've been following?
Yeah, it went through in January. So we are an emerging sport as of the 2020-2021 season.
And what does that mean?
That means that, well, we're emerging sports, so it gives us the opportunity to have our own invitational and almost have like a new governing body. So for women's wrestling, we were wrestling out of the WCWA, which was the Women's College Wrestling Association. There's our own governing body, and it was every team in the country that was a college, JUCO, NAIA, Division III, Division II, whatever it was, they were all governed by the same set of rules and governed to have this national championship that wasn't specific. And now the NAIA broke off. They have their own invitational championship for year two this year. And now starting this year, we have an NCAA team-only national tournament. It's just not sponsored by the NCAA, but next year we'll be governed by the NCAA and have some more closer related rules to what men's wrestling has now in the NCAA, which is a huge step forward going from almost like no governing body to the WCWA to now being recognized as almost a real sport. Like, it almost puts all the hard work we've been putting in to the recognition it needs.
Yeah, I bet it feels like almost a real sport when you're out there on the mat. That's the voice of Jessica Rotier. She is not only a wrestler for UW-Stevens Point, but also an assistant coach. She's a grad student there. And she is working with that program, the only UW system school with varsity wrestling in the state. We're also joined, as we talk about girls and women in sports this hour, we're also joined by Anna Graskamp, UW Eau Claire Blue Gold basketball player, and her coach, Tanya Englund, at UW Eau Claire. Coming up, we'll be joined by Liz Boll, Bloomer High School teacher and volleyball coach. So what are your thoughts? Are girls and women's sports where they should be some 48 years after the passage of Title IX? Call us at 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is The West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back talking about girls and women's sports in western Wisconsin. UW-Stevens Point wrestling coach Jessica Rotier, UW-Eau Claire basketball player Anna Graskamp, and UW-Eau Claire women's basketball coach Tanya Englund stay with us. We now welcome Liz Bowl to the conversation. She is the girls' volleyball coach at Bloomer High School. She also serves on the coaches' advisory committee for the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. Welcome to the West Side, Liz Bowl.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Bloomer High School has an enrollment of about 350, a mid-sized school for our part of the state. What role does your volleyball team play in the lives of your student athletes?
I would say our team is really important to our athletes, whether it's the volleyball team, the basketball team. Sports is a really big part of many student athletes' lives. I would say Bloomer is a sports town. Having grown up there, I experienced the same thing, and that's... Again, it's important to all of the athletes.
Well, do you think it plays a different role for the girls than it does for the boys?
That's a really good question. I mean, I can't speak to the boys. I know that my players are very dedicated in terms of attending camps and working out. We've been working really hard over the summer, both the boys and the girls, trying to find ways for them to work on their strength and conditioning, and trying to make that accessible to both groups, both sets of teams. And, you know, the girls are willing to do what I ask them to do and more. So,
does your team get the same attention from the rest of the school outside of your athletes? Does it get attention that the boys' sports teams get, for example?
Yeah, I would say so. This year we made our first trip to the state tournament, which obviously that created some buzz around our sport. But yeah, I think the volleyball team is definitely getting attention in terms of what the boys get. I mean, football is the same time. So I would say that we get equal amounts of coverage and support.
Speaking of buzz around your sport, the University of Wisconsin-Madison women's volleyball team made the finals of the NCAA tournament this year and got a lot of attention for that, got some national television coverage. Do you think that sort of attention, that kind of high-profile nature of women's volleyball, we've got the Olympics coming up as well. Does that put a little charge into the youth programs and other programs that you see on the high school level?
Yeah, it's exciting to see female college sports get that national publicity and for people, both men and women, to be excited about watching college women's volleyball has been great. There's a great, like, recreational volleyball scene in Eau Claire that includes both male and female athletes that is excited about volleyball, whether it be the men's or the women's sport. You know, one of the things that we did talk about at our coaches advisory committee meeting was the fact that there has been a decline in participation in high school volleyball and actually in high school basketball and
all sports altogether.
So that's actually one of the things that we talked about, the concern about where is everybody going, why is this happening, what can we do to kind of reverse this trend. You know, and our discussion was purely just coaches talking about, you know, what we see and what we think, and we don't necessarily have any hard answers at this point, but it's definitely a conversation that's being had.
And Tanya Englund, I would think that's an area of concern for you because your recruiting strength is Wisconsin, Minnesota. So if participation is declining, that probably reduces the number of people you have to choose from.
For sure, that would be one of my concerns. But I'm also a female who grew up playing sports, and so my bigger concern is why that's happening, because obviously that's impacting the high school experience of our students. So yes, it impacts my recruiting, but I think more importantly, it's all of us want to see girls continue to compete and to be a part of their schools. And what I alluded to before about being multiple sport athletes, I'm super passionate about that. And so, yes, it impacts the recruiting, but it, more for me, it's being a female and wanting to see our girls grow up and play sports.
Anna Graskamp, there are a lot of choices for high school students beyond athletics, including getting a job to save up for college. Do you know of good student athletes who just didn't take part in sports while you were in high school?
I do. I had several friends who maybe they wanted to play a sport, but they didn't get that opportunity because they needed to save money or they needed to focus on something else other than that sport. And so that's just kind of, unfortunately, that's something that happens for people just because we may live in different situations. And that's really something that's sad to see for me.
Our producer, Mort Cypress, who, by the way, is a huge Blue Gold women's basketball fan, he asked the question, is attendance at women's basketball games an indication of community acceptance of women in sports? How important are the fans in the stands?
They're always important, and Mort is a great fan. It's what drew me to Eau Claire, to be honest with you. When I interviewed for the job over here, it was the community support. Yeah. The men and the women have equal support. Our fans are tremendous. They support all the teams. It is important. I think that what has changed a little bit is that people can now stay home and watch the game online, whereas before it was just maybe listening on the radio. And so it's changed a little bit of actually coming to the game in person. But I think that it is important for our players to have that community backing. And I also believe that the players give back to the community in return because of that. They know the fans. They're interactive with them. And it helps them become a greater part of the community as a college student.
Now, Liz Bohl, how much does the community support girls' sports in Bloomer? And how does that compare to other schools in the Heart of the North Conference from what you've been able to observe?
I think that Bloomer has a great support of women's athletics. We always have a good, and I would say like our student body is really good at supporting each other. The girls come to the boys' games and the boys come to the girls' game, and that actually has been really fun. We've definitely seen an increase in some of that in the past few years, which is great. And there's always that fan group that comes to all the home games, whether they be boys and girls. In compared to other Heart of the North conferences or conference schools, you know, it depends on the school. I really think some schools have a good draw and others are a little less in terms of who's coming to watch the games. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're...
Yeah. And at Grass Camp, I grew up, as I mentioned, I went to Barron, one of those other Heart of the North schools, and I think in a community that size, it's that those athletic events are something of the social fabric of the community. Big town like Eau Claire, high school sports, there are a lot of things competing with high school sports in Eau Claire. You attended one of the largest high schools in western Wisconsin. Did the Old Abes have a strong fan base while you were there?
Unfortunately for the girls, we did not have as much support as the boys did at their games. Our student sections would be pretty large for the boys' games and not as much for girls, which was sad to see. The one time we would actually get in a lot of fans to come in and watch us play as far as student section was our North Memorial games where we had back-to-back
the rivalry
games. Yep.
Yeah. So. Well, speaking of community, and you alluded to this, Tani Anglin, the Blue Gold women's basketball team is very visible in community projects from Feed My People to Reading in the Schools. Is that type of outreach intentionally part of the experience that you build in for the athletes, and is that specific to women's athletics?
It's not specific to women's athletics because I believe that at the university, both the men's and the women's athletics teams really are involved in the community. It's built in very intentionally by me as a head coach because I believe that once you do service, once you get involved in giving back in your community at a young age, it's something that stays with you the rest of your life. And I believe that when you give back, that you understand what you can do within your community as an athlete and how it can impact kids that are coming up that want to have a role model, have an accessible, especially female role model. And I look back on my experience, and that's what I didn't have. I didn't have accessible female role models that I could look up to and say, this is who I want to be someday. And so I speak to my players about that all the time, about there are little eyes watching. Anna said it. She was a Blue Gold buddy and grew up and came to those things and now is one of our players. And I think that's an important part of our program. There's a family dynamic there that through the years there are players that they want to be a Blue Gold. They become a Blue Gold. Now they're Blue Gold alumni. And that keeps us a really close family. But I think that, there is something to be said about having strong female accessible role models in athletics where you can identify and say, this is who I want to be someday. I'm sure the players laugh at me, but, you know, I grew up watching like the NBA and it was Larry Bird and those types of, and it never occurred to me, well, I wish I could have a female role model. Where now I see the little girls after the games and they just hover around Anna. And that to me is something that just kind of makes me a little emotional sometimes, because Anna understands that dynamic. She understands what she can do for those little girls and what they want to be someday. And I think for self-esteem for female athletes, it changed my life. It changed my opportunities. When I had confidence that I could be good at something, my grades went up. I was a more confident person. I don't think people understand sometimes what athletics does for self-esteem. And I'm living proof of that. And that's why I feel it's so, so important that we continue to grow female athletics.
Well, Jessica Rotier, female role models were probably not a big part of your wrestling career, but you are in the process of probably building that sort of culture. At UW-Stevens Point, what kind of community support do you get at the university there? Do you get a fair number of people who come out and watch the matches?
Yeah, we have all types of support. The school, the campus was really on board when we decided to add our program, so... not only do we get the campus, but the community was also jumping at opportunities to support us and help us out in any way we needed. Right now, we do have one youth wrestler that is a huge Pointer fan and always comes to the duels, and our girls kind of do the same thing to where no matter how the duel goes, they'll take the time to socialize with this little girl and, you know, just be there, talk to her, ask her how her season's going, because she just started wrestling as well, ask her about her current tournaments and stuff like that, and just really build that connection with the community that we're here for more than just to win matches. Like, we're here to help inspire those kids to become future pointers or to even go bigger and better, you know. But, yeah, the community is all on board. We get pretty packed gyms for our duels, just the same as the guys would.
Very good. We're talking about women's and girls' sports, particularly high school and college sports, and sort of the evolution of that since the Title IX back in the 1970s and in other ways as well. 800-228-5615 is the way for you to join us. That's what Rolf did. Rolf is in northern Wisconsin. Rolf, thanks for being on the West Side. Go ahead.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity. I've been really enjoying this conversation and reflecting on all the things that the women have been saying about opportunity and role models and that sort of thing. And I'm just coming from the perspective of being a father of a senior in high school in northern Wisconsin who's a really accomplished athlete and has been since I coached her in Little League days and way before that even. It's been a great thing for her, but one comment I wanted to make on when you talk about maybe declining interest in some places for high school sports, I just would like to issue a caution, and this is for women's and young men sports alike. It seems like things have gotten, the intensification of it at the high school level, I think, has been the big problem for my daughter. And she actually quit a sport as a senior because of, I think, burnout, and she's... What I've tried to stress to her is to enjoy it for life, to continue to be competitive and take all the positive stuff away. But I see this as a growing thing, and I'm concerned as a parent about it, where the time that can go into it, the summer camps, all of this stuff, which can be good for a lot of people, but for also a lot of other accomplished folk, can just get to be too much of a good thing and overemphasizing sports to the detriment of some other stuff. So that's my comment. Keep up the great work, and thanks for the great show.
Rolf, if you can, stay on the line, because I might want to, I'd like to maybe come back to you on a couple of points that you talked about. Liz Bohl, you talked a little bit earlier about there are some, you know, there are lots of opportunities now, but does that cause problems of their own?
Yeah, I think in our discussion at the coaches meeting, we talked about the impact of youth sports on our numbers, specifically the fact that, you know, it's starting earlier and there seems to be a feeling, I think, amongst players and even parents that if their child doesn't start at this time, they're going to be behind and they won't be able to catch up. And with youth, organized youth leagues being, I would say, a booming business, that also creates some issues with the amount of travel that you have fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade teams doing. And the cost becomes an issue for some families where they can't maybe participate as they would have years back. So we've definitely talked about that in the burnout piece. I believe that. I see that. The number of multi-sport athletes that I've seen just in my tenure at Bloomer, I think, has declined. We used to share a lot of like softball, basketball, volleyball type athletes, and we don't as much anymore. And people are choosing that specialization, and I don't know if it's because they feel they have to, that pressure that they're feeling or their parents are feeling, but it's definitely something that I agree with the caller on his points.
I would add as well, it's something, and Anna will tell you this, I talk to the parents after every one of our camps, and I say I have the unique perspective of being the college coach that's at the end of the spectrum. And if we continue to do this, the specialization, and have so much intense pressure on kids when they're younger, I will never see them by the time they get to the college level, because burnout is definitely a factor. And I even have a lot of times players that'll come to the university and maybe play for a year, and all they've done their entire life is play. And there comes to a point where they want to just be a college student. And I hear that more and more and more now. And so I'm on the end spectrum of trying to tell a lot of times the youth parents and the youth coaches that we need to believe in the three-sport athlete. We need to believe in what that does for a high school, especially for the smaller high schools. I am a college coach that I recruit three-sport athletes. I do go to AAU, but I recruit through high school coaches, and I love to see a player who played multiple sports because I know they're still going to be passionate about what they're doing. They have cross-trained. They've played a lot of different sports, and success from different sports makes you a better player. I truly believe that. So I think we need to have more college coaches that are vocal about that, but I also think all coaches have to buy into not just maybe selling just their program, but understanding in the bigger spectrum, what it's doing for our kids, and how much multi-sport athletics, I think, really enriches your high school experience.
Well, if I want to come back to you, you mentioned your daughter is a pretty good athlete. Do you expect that she will want to continue to play sports beyond her high school years?
Well, she's actually been recruited a little bit for some college sports, and she's thinking about it, but she's also pursuing some high-level academic stuff with careers. So I think she's got a great perspective on it, and I like what you all are saying about it. And I think that conversation even needs to start earlier, like at the elementary and middle school level, when sports is still, you know, it's competitive, but it's about more of a fun thing and not this intense grind of like everyday practices at the high school level, even if you have great coaches. And so, yeah, she's thinking about it, but I think her number one is to do sports for life and stay incredibly fit and utilize those connections, but also pursue, you know, career stuff too, which makes me elated.
Ralph, thank you for calling. Anna Graskamp, you are, you know, you're a senior. What do you hope to do with athletics following your career at UW-Eau Claire?
Athletics has kind of actually led me to the career path that I'm on right now. After graduation, I'll be going up to St. Scholastica for physical therapy school, and so honestly, getting an injury from playing athletics is what led me into finding physical therapy as my passion. So athletics has really been a large part of my life, and going forward, I'd like to continue to work with athletes as a physical therapist, and honestly, athletics is really what's gotten me to where I am right now.
That's the voice of Anna Graskamp, player for the Blue Gold women's basketball team. We also have the coach of the Blue Gold women's team, Tanya England, with us. Liz Boll, who is a member of the coaches advisory committee of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association, and the Bloomer High School volleyball coach, is with us, as well as Jessica Rotier, who is the assistant wrestling coach and the especially focusing on the women's wrestling team at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Are you a spectator of women's sports? What brings you to the court or rink? Do you have kids in sports now? And what is it doing for them? And are they experiencing that same burnout that we've been talking about? Call 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach. It's the West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back talking about girls and women's sports here on the West Side. And our guests are Jessica Rotier. She is a wrestler and a coach for the UW-Stevens Point women's wrestling team. We have Liz Bohl, who is a Bloomer volleyball coach, also on the coaches advisory committee for the WIAA. Tanya Englund, head coach of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire women's basketball team, and one of her players, senior forward Anna Graskamp. A common stereotype male athletes face is that of being the dumb jock. We heard from Rolf earlier that his daughter is thinking about athletics in college, but is also thinking about some academic opportunities. Are there common stereotypes among female athletes? And Anna Graskamp, let me start with you on that one.
Honestly, I don't see too many stereotypes with female athletes. As Coach was saying, with most of the athletes I see, we are multi-sport athletes. We've been in different clubs. We focus on our academics a lot at the D3 level as well. Academics is a large part of why we're at the university that we're at, and so I think that's a large focus, and I don't think there's that stereotype of the dumb jock with female athletes as much.
Tanya Englund, when you're recruiting, because you don't offer scholarships, I'm sure that what the school has to offer from an academic standpoint must have a role.
Absolutely, and it's the reason that I came to Eau Claire, because I believe in the excellence of the university and what it offers academically. But I will tell you that I enjoy coaching the student athlete that is very highly motivated and really cares about academics. I find that those players are easier to coach. They pick up on things quicker. They're just those types of players are the ones that I kind of migrate towards. And so within our team, and that's part of the reason why Anna is here today, is that she's the true triple threat. She's a great basketball player, but she's one of the very best students at the university. She's an honor student. And she also is very willing to give back in her community. And I find in women's sports that that is kind of what we're about, that there is that high-achieving type of player that I think is really something that we all are pretty proud of. And so I think when it comes to, like, the stereotypes, I think that what we've been fortunate to do is to really kind of set a precedent for what we want to be about in women's athletics. And I think that you see a lot of great players that are also very high achievers. And I think that goes back to a lot of role modeling as well.
Jessica Rotier, you were an athlete. You had an athletic scholarship to the University of the Cumberlands. Does that add pressure that maybe ends up being negative toward the pursuit of your academic career, do you think?
No, I think if a college coach is doing their job right, they're not just throwing money at athletes. They're making sure that with their athletic offering to help pay for their tuition, that they're going to get the education they want and the education they need. You know, I'll never try to convince an athlete that my school is better than another school if I can't give them the program they want to fall in love with. You know, if I don't have the academic program for them, it doesn't pay for me to bring this kid into my campus when they're not gonna be in the field that's gonna set them up for their future.
Liz Bohl, most of your students will not probably go on to play college athletics. Probably your bench folks are even, you know, and again, I don't know what kind of rotation you use, but, you know, I was a bench warmer in high school athletics and still valued the experience. It was fun. It was interesting. And, you know, I knew I wasn't going to make it to the NBA myself any day soon. Does that present a different set of challenges as a coach, or does that offer you some freedoms?
Well, I would say that I mean, the girls, like you said, most of them won't go on to play college athletics. A few of them will. But I think most of them want to be a part of a team. They want to have some success. They want to have fun. Personally, I never played college athletics. I just fell in love with the sports and obviously tried to find ways to continue to be a part of it. And that's actually one of the things that I usually talk about to, like, my parent groups, the youth groups, and my players is that, you know, I want you to come away with a love for the sport of volleyball because it's just something that you can do, you know, once you're done with school, and it creates a lot of opportunities to stay healthy and to have fun. So that's a big piece of what we talk about and try and promote. And I think the girls understand that, and that's why they come out. They want to be part of a team and have success and feel that, because most of them realize that this is their last opportunity to do that at the high school level.
When Title IX was developed, the general and certainly the institutional understanding of gender was binary, male or female. More and more, though, society is being asked to accept the definition of someone's gender by how they see themselves, as opposed to how their bodies might be identified as male or female. I'm wondering, has WIAA taken that up in the coaches' advisory committees, Liz Bowl, and what challenges does that present for girls and women's sports?
We have not had that conversation. In our committee, it's a volleyball-focused committee,
okay.
And we did talk about the rise of male volleyball. Actually, that's a sport that has seen great gains. So we haven't talked about that at all yet. I don't know where that will go.
No.
As far as an educator in schools, that creates challenges. I mean, just logistically, which if it comes up in sports, I'm sure that will be a very hot topic.
Tanya Anglin, do you have any insight in that area at all?
I don't really haven't. Same. Not really
okay.
Something that has been
just curious. I haven't heard about much either, but it seems to me like there's something might be happening in that
mm-hmm.
forefront. We're nearly to the end of our time. I did want to kind of get a sense of what you feel is coming up next. And Jessica Rotier, how do you see your sport advancing in the coming years? What do you think women's wrestling is going to look like 20 years from now?
I think that every state's going to have their own high school sanctioned sport. I think we'll be on every collegiate level as our own division, and just continuing to grow, continuing to beat the stereotypes we have, and really show that women's wrestling is a real thing and it's here to stay.
And as we wrap up, Tanya Anglin, the Blue Gold women's basketball team, Tuesday night opens the WIAC tournament at home against UW-Stevens Point. As Jessica's team, we'll apologize to her, but we got a good chance against the Pointers.
Absolutely. We're the 3 seed. Point is the 6th. They're very well coached. It'll be a great game. We play at 6. The men play at 8. Unique old-school doubleheader in Zarn Arena. We really hope the community will come out to support both teams. They're both really exciting to watch this year.
That's the voice of Tanya Anglin. She is the head coach of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire women's basketball team. Her star power forward, Anna Graskamp, who's here with us as well. Liz Bowl from Bloomer High School, a social studies teacher. I didn't mention that before, but that's an important part of what you do. Also the girls volleyball coach and also a committee member of the coaches advisory committee for the WIAA. And Jessica Rotier, the women's wrestling coach, assistant wrestling coach for the women wrestling team at UW-Stevens Point, and also a participant and also going to the Olympic trials in the spring. Catherine Thomas produced the hour. Mort Cypress was our on-air producer. Kate Spranger oversees publicity and online presence for the show. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Thanks for listening to The West Side here on the Ideas Network. Thank you, Jessica.